He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We what are up? Jalen Jacoby. What no. is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
The people want a game seven. They got that tonight. The people want game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. They got that tonight. The people wanted two Monday Night Football games. They got that last night. And that is where we start with Big Ben is back. He returned to the field after elbow surgery and didn't miss a beat. Him and Juju Smith-Schuster connected time and time again, as you see right here. Jalen, did last night's performance convince you that they're a contender in the AFC?
It didn't convince me that they're a contender, Jacoby. First, I want to celebrate Big Ben being back, the future Hall of Famer. It was great to see him back in the lineup. My Rock Nation brother, Juju Smith, great to see him in the end zone. Washington being physical at the goal line, getting into the end zone. They had a 100-yard rusher, and we know their defense is ferocious. But can Big Ben really stay healthy, Jacoby, as we break down this team? And I want to get enthusiastic, and I want to say that their defense can carry them to a Super Bowl contending season. And then I think of the other teams in the AFC. And I'm like, Patrick Mahomes is really good. And they got weapons. The Ravens are really good. And they got weapons. You got to score to beat those teams. And yep. I'm just not sure that the Pittsburgh Steelers, based on this style of great coaching, really disciplined offense, low turnovers, smash mouth football, can actually win a Super Bowl in a modern day era where people just throwing the football all around a lot every game.
It was encouraging to see them win, but it was a little discouraging to see Big Ben limping around the field and James Conner go down. And Big Ben had a run for 11 yards, which I can't even call a run. I'm going to call it like a jog for 11 yards. But that 11 yards was more than Saquon Barkley gained from the line of scrimmage all day long. Now, you have to give a lot of credit to the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, but the Giants offensive line did not just not give him a hole. He was touched behind the line of scrimmage, I think, 11 times, 8 times before he even got a chance to turn up field. It was a very tough day for Saquon Barkley and made me feel like this Giants team is as bad as we thought they would be, and nothing demonstrates that more than Daniel Jones on this play. Watch this play from Daniel Jones. He just marched them down the field on a 19-play drive. 90 yards. He drops back, throws the ball up, and there's 5 Pittsburgh Steelers there that could have intercepted the pass. Not one. Watch it when they stop this right here. There's 5 Pittsburgh Steelers that could have intercepted that pass. Jalen, this is really bad for the Giants. Just how bad do you think it will be this season?
Well, all I know is you have a couple of good games, and the media give you a nickname. Remember that? Ryan Fitzpatrick, he can put on Deshaun Jackson's clothes, and we think it's cute. What happened to your guy, Danny Dimes, Jacoby? What happened?
Danny Penny.
You tell me.
Danny what Penny. Happened? It was Danny one dime. He had one good throw the entire game. In the first drive, the second drive was like, oh, look at that. Touchdown throw Slade. Maybe he really is Danny Dimes. He is not Danny Dimes.
Like I Danny told Dimes. Y'all. Somebody photoshopped this for me. The two quarterbacks in New York City for the Jets and Giants resemble more like people that were in happy days than people that are going to lead those teams to the Super Bowl. The way they have not been taking care of the football. New Yorkers deserve so much better. Oh my goodness. These guys have to improve what they're doing under center.
The Jets and Giants are absolutely terrible. Now, there's also another game, the second game in a Monday Night Football doubleheader, between a team that was one game away from the Super Bowl in the Tennessee Titans. But let me tell you something. Certainly didn't look like a team that was one game away from the Super Bowl. Now, while Derrick Henry did run for over 100 yards, it just didn't feel like a team that was poised to make a run this season. Tannehill didn't look great. Derrick Henry looked all right. The receiving core dropped some passes. Jalen, there's a lot of discussion today about the kicker, but I just wanted to point out that it wasn't just the kicker that got this team in trouble. But let's turn our eyes to Gostkowski. What did you see from him? Tell us the tale of late night Gostkowski.
This fella is literally costing his team opportunities to win football games. How are you going to miss two field goals and an extra point? So here's my plea. There are a lot of people, black athletes, that want to play in the NFL. I plead to you, practice kicking. I watch the league every week and never see kickers that look like us. Go after those jobs. You saw what Tiger did in golf? He went after it. Venus and Serena in tennis, they went after it. Those are jobs. Go take them. Gotkowski and got bailed out late. Denver didn't even call a timeout, Jacoby. They could have put more pressure on him if they made him kick it faster. They didn't even put pressure on him.
I think Vic Fangio thinks that timeouts work like rollover minutes on a cell phone plan, that he can just like have five timeouts next week in the first half of their week two game, because there was just no reason not to call a timeout there. And when he was trying to explain it, he's like, well, Derrick Henry ran out of bounds and then they threw an incomplete pass, so obviously they didn't need to use those. It was just like, my guy, you had plenty of opportunities to call timeouts when they were clearly in field goal range to save your offense a little bit of time to maybe respond with a field goal of their own, and they did not. Gostkowski somehow is a hero by going 1-for-4 on field goals and missing an extra point. Again, missed 3 field goals and an extra point, and somehow still walks away as the hero. Jalen?
We need more feet looking like this doing that job.
We do not. I am so glad they're not showing your feet on television right now, because our ratings would immediately plummet. We really don't. Like this. Please cut away from
kicking
that.
Kicking in the NFL.
Well, that wraps up week one in the NFL, but now we turn our attention to the NBA, and we have a game 7 tonight between the Nuggets and the Clippers. A lot of people picked the Clippers to win the championship, and here they are in a game 7 against the Nuggets. How can the Nuggets pull off an upset this evening?
Stretch, mark, 5, dominance. That's how they can get it done. I can look deeper into the box score and talk about the role players like Craig, Gary Harris. And yes, Murray needs to be spectacular. But I voted that guy first team all NBA the last 2 years, the Joker. And while Millsap is going to give him a good quarter or give him some great minutes, he's been the unguardable player for the Denver Nuggets. If he can be dominant, the Clippers will be getting eliminated tonight.
The Nuggets are just so good with their backs against the wall. Let's just think back a couple weeks ago. I had them written off as losing to the Jazz. I was like, oh, they're definitely going to lose to the Jazz. This is an insurmountable lead in a 7-game series. And what'd they do? Stretch it to 7 and then 1. And then when it was 3-1, I had them definitely losing to the Clippers. There's no way they can come back and force a game 7 and win a game 7 against the Clippers. But as you said, right now, I'd put him at even odds to win tonight. And a lot of that has to do with what the Clippers aren't getting from two of their key contributors, and that is Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams. During the entire season, that was their key to success. Oh, you putting your second team out? We're going to put our second team out, and our second team is dominant and all-star potential level players. But look at what they got in the regular season. Just under 40 points a game from them. First round versus Dallas, 25 points a game from those two. Conference semifinals versus Denver in this series, just 20 points. That's 20 points combined. That's about 2 points away from Montrezl Harrell's average per game in the regular season. And it's not just that end of the floor, which they are not performing. It's also the defensive end of the floor. Harrell just can't do anything to the stretch mark 5. The stretch mark 5 just eats up Harrell every time that he is guarding him. And they're finding Lou Williams on pick and rolls and switches and just abusing him on the defensive end as well. Jalen, can these two turn it around and play like they have played all year before the bubble?
They're going to need to. And I'm not going to pick the Nuggets to win, even though we've been driving that bandwagon the last couple of years. I'm going to give respect to Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Doc Rivers and his staff. I believe they'll find a way to get it done, even if Montrez and Lou struggles. But that's what I love about the playoffs. You have to play different styles in order to advance. And these are two offensively driven players, but they're getting taken advantage of on the other end.
Jalen, can I do the media thing and take a hypothetical way too far? Okay. I don't think the Clippers are going to lose either. But let's imagine that they do. Okay. They lose. They go home. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard have a conversation. They say, you know what? We've only got 1 year left on our contracts. And then we have player options. And you know what? I didn't really like what happened with the supporting cast in the bubble. And Doc Rivers made some very questionable decisions as our head coach. Do you think the two of them could get together and say, you know what? Maybe we're not long for the Clippers here. Maybe they start slow next year. Maybe the two of them say, you know what? Maybe we take our talents and take them somewhere else. Could you see those be the reverberations of a loss tonight in Game 7?
Not at all. Not at all. Because they're both from Southern California, and they are where they want to be. And I think their goals are still in front of them, even if they don't get it done this year. Doc Rivers is still one of the best coaches in the game. Steve Ballmer is still one of the greatest owners in sports. They haven't even moved into their own facility yet, Jacoby, and have a chance to win a championship. So in a lot of ways, they're ahead of the curve as it relates to their progression. But man, it would be really humbling for the Clippers and their fans if they got bounced by the Denver Nuggets, if they had to watch the Lakers not only go on to win the West, but to win it all, especially being that they were the team that were supposed to upend their crosstown rival. They play in the same building.
It is time for News That Matters. Jalen, let me tell you about phosphine. I believe I'm saying that right. It is a microbe that is created by living organisms here on Earth. Well, guess what? Scientists detected that very microbe in the clouds of Venus, not in the uninhabitable surface of Venus, but in the clouds of Venus. This is a microbe that is created by living organisms. They found it on Venus. Did scientists just prove that there is life beyond our atmosphere?
Phone home.
Big night on ESPN tonight, starting at 6 p.m. You get NBA Countdown, and then the games begin. 6:30, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1, Heat Celtics, and then Game 7 between the Nuggets and the Clippers. That is all on ESPN. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is time for the segment where Jalen decides what we discuss. It's time for Keep It
Woo.
Moving.
Tang, woo, tang.
If you want to discuss a topic, say hit the brakes. If not, we all just keep it moving, and we start with the aforementioned Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics. We're going to hit the brakes. Jalen, what are you keying on in this huge matchup for the NBA Finals?
Jimmy Butler for the Heat, who does things outside of the box score. And on the other side, the Celtics have one of my favorite players that does that as well in Marcus Smart. But Jimmy, as he's left Chicago, Minnesota, and the Sixers, those situations have gotten worse. He's gotten better. And Jason Tatum on the other side, who's ascended into an all-NBA performer, one of the best isolation players in the game, whereas last year he was one of the worst. He improved in that area.
I knew you were going to go with the star power, so I'm going to go somewhere else, and that is a gentleman by the name of Daniel Tice. Now, Tice was not a household name, but in the bubble for this contending team, he has been an anchor on defense, just supplying some rim protection for this undersized squad and also creating a little bit on offense, but switching on to smallers on defense. If he can stay out of foul trouble and limit Bam Adebayo, that is going to be one of the keys to the Celtics' victory. Jalen, time for us to move on. The Bucks have detailed their off-season spending plan to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
We know they got to go into the luxury tax. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Coach Bruce Arians was a little critical of his new quarterback, Tom Brady. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
The Kango kid and Tom Brady will get it together. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. Okay. We keep it moving.
We have some new news about Lonzo Ball. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Lonzo Ball has announced that he is joining Clutch Sports, obviously headed by Rich Paul. What sort of impact do you think that will have on his career?
It's a family affair. Big shout to Rich Paul continuing to grow his already successful client group and company. His little brother LaMelo Ball is also going to come into the league. This young man has big time potential. I'm glad to see him making moves to feel like he's doing what he can to improve his career.
How do you think LeVar Ball feels about this move?
LeVar just like, let's do this big baller thing. Whatever it's got to take. You know, whoever's going to make this happen. That's what he focused on.
We have some interesting feelings expressed by Roy Jones in advance of his fight against Mike Tyson. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
He said he might have made a mistake by taking an exhibition fight against Mike Tyson. Jalen, are you surprised by this sentiment?
I'm pretty sure everybody that's fought Mike Tyson, regardless of his record, except Evander Holyfield, truly felt that way. Again, the term exhibition means a lot to me, which means somebody's going to stop either one of them from taking a lot of punishment and or really getting injured. So watch for body gear, watch for headgear when these two titans get into the ring for their exhibition.
I just feel like the closer they get to the actual fight, the more like real it becomes to them. And Roy Jones is just like, wait a second, 3 months ago, you know, it didn't feel, it felt very far away in the future. But now you want me to jog, you want me to train, you want me to
eat right.
And you know that he's been watching these videos of Mike Tyson, because we've all been watching the videos of Mike Tyson. Run it again. Like, if you're at home and you're Roy Jones and you haven't fought in a competitive boxing match in a long time and you're seeing him snap these punches like that, and you see the dude wearing the vest kind of have to walk away from Mike Tyson after getting
hit in the stomach, man.
I'd be feeling the exact same way, because I haven't seen any videos of Roy Jones. Have you been seeing those on Instagram? Nope, I'm seeing these. No. Look at him snap these punches.
All I see is thighs and elbows. That's all I see.
Yes. I think that pretty much every single person that signed up to fight against Mike Tyson felt exactly this way as they got closer to the fight, no matter how confident they were. Well, I'll be watching it regardless. Jalen, we have some new information about a television show that was very important to your development.
Breaks.
Netflix has announced that they are going to have a reboot of Good Times. How do you feel about this decision?
First off, the art, Ernie Barnes, Good Times, classic painting that's featured in each episode. Also, Jimmy Walker, JJ, just think about this. He's starring on that sitcom, I Don't Know My Biological Father. People try to tease me and act like that was my father. That would be a fight immediately because it wasn't my father. And did you know, Florida, so sweet as a mom, always wore red. Did you realize that? Always wore red, Florida Evans. And James, he was the father, not just of that family, okay? Of the entire hood, of the entire neighborhood. When James got mad, I even curled up, okay? And Michael, you know what I'm saying? The young intellect. He was going to be something so super spectacular. He was going to be the first Barack Obama. And I got to tell you, Rolona. Oh, man. And Penny, Janet Jackson, when she was on there. And sweet Linnea, if I ain't got it, it must not be in that. And also, last but not least, and shout out to Sweet Daddy, too. Sweets, the man. But last but not least, my first love, my first crush, Thelma. Oh, Thelma. Oh, Thelma. All natural, Jacoby. Hair.
Jalen.
Skin.
We've been doing this show for 10 years, and you have never been this knowledgeable about a single topic we've ever discussed on this program in 10 years. Well, something tells me that you will be watching Good Times, and something tells me that all of you will stay tuned, because when we come back, we will tell you the biggest takeaways from week one in the NFL. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby and someone talk a lot about Good Times. You got to kill the people. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it's time for a new segment. Every week, when the week is done in the NFL, we will distill all the information down into one important takeaway. It is time for Tuesday's takeaways. Jalen, what is your one takeaway from week one in the NFL?
This one hurts, Jacoby, and it's personal. Big shouts, at least in fantasy, D-Hop and Andrews at tight end represented, but reality, my Detroit Lions. Jamie Collins, our big offseason acquisition. You're not playing with the Patriots anymore, fam. You don't get the benefit of the doubt. When you play with the Lions and you do things like this, you get ejected from the game. That just happens. And Swift, we drafted him this year, Jacoby. He's promising. He's a young player. Both of those guys, as you see him drop it at the goal line. And Mitchell Trubisky, those three touchdown passes in the fourth quarter to beat my hometown team. That really hurt. That was my takeaway.
On the bright side, though, you guys were in the game, leading the game in the fourth quarter. I can't remember the last time that you gave up a lead. At least you had a lead to give up, and that is an accomplishment for Detroit Lions team. Jalen, my big takeaway this Tuesday is I see the future of the NFL. Before in the NFL, if your quarterback outgained your running back on the ground, that was a serious problem. But now these five quarterbacks all led the team in rushing, and they all won their game. And sometimes it was by design in the case of Cam Newton. Jalen, the future of the NFL is dual threat quarterbacks. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Dan Marino's, Ben Roethlisberger's, those are all quarterbacks of the past. You will now have dual threat quarterbacks getting drafted much higher than traditional pocket passers. And I love to watch it, especially my guy, Josh Allen. Because if you look at those five quarterbacks, he's the only one that looks like me. We have Eastern Conference Finals game one tonight on ESPN. We have game seven between the Nuggets and the Clippers. We'll be back tomorrow to break it all down.
But
on
the
ESPN.
Rest of them look like that me. Too.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content. Jalen, a couple things I want to talk to you about that we can't put in the television show. Some don't get fired topics because, you know, the executives don't listen to this. There was a video of John Wall shirtless at a party. And he may or may not be throwing up most people would consider gang signs. And he also had a bandana, and that bandana was not tied around his face to protect himself from COVID-19 droplets. It was a red bandana that is of some significance to many people. He then apologized for this. Jalen, I'm sure you've seen the video. What are your thoughts?
I was disappointed in the video because there's an elevation that he's been able to achieve based on his intellect, his sacrifices, his talent, that now puts him in position to be the point guard of the Washington Wizards. And with that job comes a lot of responsibility to his name, to his family, to his kids, to those to help him get in the position that he's into, and also those that he influences, his teammates, his fans, his community. You can do whatever you choose to do in your personal time, as we call it, off wax. Because in a lot of cases, Jacoby, it is impossible a lot of ways when you don't have money to separate yourself, quote unquote, from the neighborhood or from the lifestyle. And money affords you that opportunity. But what ends up happening is it's not a zip code or an area code that separates you from that behavior. It's a mentality. And so the reason why he apologized is at what he's been able to accomplish and the kind of career he has for himself that pays him $40 million to play basketball. You don't want to be doing or saying nothing A that's going to jeopardize that. Number two, this ain't the climate for that. We want to make sure that the energy that the players that have been able to garner in the bubble with the 29 messages on the back of their jerseys, with Black Lives Matter being on the floor, we want that to be the legacy of NBA players this year. Not what's being considered being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, I must say this just as a black person, because usually predominantly influential, we're influenced by gangs, black or black and brown people. I have a secret for everybody that really hasn't been paying attention. Players like him and entertainers, since the beginning of time, I could go back decades and decades, have been representing their blocks, have been representing their neighborhoods, have been representing their crews, have been throwing up signs, have been stacking since the beginning of time. Okay, we was doing it when I was in college. Mm-hmm. And so it does not make it something that you want to see the youth behind you doing. That's why he apologized. It's not something that he wants to see his nieces and nephews doing. That's why he apologized. And I believe that it's going to be a learning experience for him, that we're going to see a level of growth that shows that he learned from that behavior and understanding that that's now how he wants his legacy depicted for public consumption.
Very well put. And Jalen, I have an update on the Daniel House saga. Now, I've been on wax saying it was unfair for him to be kept out of these games. Yes, he did break the rules, but I did not feel like the punishment fit the crime. She was a bubble member. He didn't try to sneak someone in from outside the bubble. So I feel like, you know, while you might have violated some of the rules, fraternizing internally within the bubble shouldn't be as frowned upon, where you have to miss two playoff games, crucial playoff games for your team. But there's also the repercussions that get laid down by the league, and there's the repercussions that get laid down by your wife. And I was on some of my favorite websites that might not be the most journalistically sound, but according to those websites, that Daniel House's wife has scrubbed all of the pictures of Daniel House from her Instagram account and has posted some cryptic messages in her Instagram stories. Now, my question to you is, if you're Daniel House, something tells me it goes like this. He went home and tried to spin a tale in which it was just a group of people hanging out and she just happened to be there, but there was a lot of us and nothing romantic happened. If that's the story that he is going with, how believable do you find that as his spouse?
So here's something that we continue to learn for public consumption. This show, we support relationships and power couples.
Yes.
So the one thing, I don't care if you're celebrities like Will and Jada, ultimately, that's two individuals that need to be happy and satisfied about things that are being done and said. We actually don't get to judge or have an opinion.
No.
That carries any weight or any way, shape, or form. Because there are a lot of things that happens in relationships that we shouldn't even know and hope never to know. With that being said, there are levels to a family. With all due respect for everybody that's in a relationship out there. And I remember saying this to my brother, Jay Will, who I'm going to be with on Countdown tonight, because we heard the news at the same time. And I was trying to explain it to the room because, again, I know a lot more about these athletes than I say doing my job, because I'm a professional. And I think that is one of the things that players have always appreciated for the last 20 years. When we was in the same place at the same time till 3-4 in the morning, and such and such probably went out and had a bad game, and they realized that I talked about the bad game, but I didn't necessarily talk about why. It's just certain codes that you just don't break. I started doing this job while I was still playing. You know what I'm saying? I didn't retire and start working in media. I was playing and working in the media. So here's what I said to Maria, Jay, and I'll say to our pod audience, because it's the Don't Get Fired crowd, and we respect power couples. And I hope House and his wife find some solace and happiness, because that clearly doesn't sound like a relationship or somebody he knew before he got into the bubble. Not making excuses, just stating all of the facts because you asked me a question. But here's the distinction. If you're newly married, it's just that. Jacoby, wife, three kids, 18 years, like, that's a family. Daniel House, wife, multiple kids. He got a whole family. W-H-O-L-E. And people be like, what do you mean by that? Take that word whole and put anything behind it. Foods, for example. What do we call that? Whole check. Because that's what it'll cost you not making quality decisions. Your whole check. Something called alimony and child support. And when you make that decision in an NBA bubble and you're suspended from your job, you're missing those checks. Mm-hmm. The team's playing tonight. You not a part of the squad. It's during a pandemic. You got to get on the plane. Where do you go? I would deem from the outside looking in, not to that address. Probably not to that address.
Probably not.
Yeah, you're probably not welcome at that moment.
Right now. He probably really wants to see his kids, but he texted all his
you're kids. Not, you're probably not welcome at that moment, you know.
No.
And so, I just hope that, you know, that doesn't get worse before it gets better. Because that's really unfortunate for a young player that's really trying to find himself in the league. And being in the bubble created a temptation that ultimately might cost him his family. And during this quarantine and COVID-19, nobody's thinking straight.
Because you can put yourself in his shoes. He's been flirting with this lady for a long time every day. You got to get tested every day. So, you know, you see her for a little bit. And then, you know, after 50 days of interacting every day, you get to know each other a little bit. And maybe they didn't even do anything romantic. But little did he know that it was not just going to cost him his relationship and access to his kids. And it's going to potentially cost him a series against the Los Angeles Lakers. Those are just those decisions. Like, whenever you decide to have a couple beers and get behind the wheel, you don't think about the repercussions. And I'm sure in that moment, Daniel House was so excited to have somebody come over to their hotel room. He was probably so excited that he wasn't considering some of the repercussions and implications.
Felt like Jacques Cousteau. Felt like he was discovering something.
Yes, he was probably just so excited to not even think that this could be so damaging to his professional and personal life. But here we are. I wish them both happiness, just like you said. Jalen, we always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is involving the people in the show. So right now, push pause in the podcast. Call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. Ask us any question about anything, and we'll put it on the show just like this one.
What's up, guys? This is Kyle out in Berkeley. I have a very important follow-up call to the homie who was trying to holler at his friend's sister. So my little sister recently had a short-term romance with a guy who has been a friend of mine for a long time since high school. We've collaborated on music together. Like, he's a close friend, but he's not my best friend, right? And, you know, their tryst, shall we say, didn't end too well, but it wasn't like anything bad. It just kind of flamed out, and my sister was left feeling a little disappointed. My question is, what becomes of my friendship with my homie? Because, I mean, he kind of, you know, hurt my sister's feelings a little bit, and I don't know, like, are we still friends? Like, should I still hit him up? Like, should I release these songs that we collabed on? Or is he just gone forever? Obviously, this can serve maybe as a warning to the homie who called in before about what can happen when these situations go south. But let me know what you guys think.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate the love. And we love when one of our callers has a question and another one of our callers has a follow-up. That's what we're trying to build here, a family. I want to make sure we start back getting the people hoodies. So yesterday's caller and today's caller, make sure you DM at Jalen and Jacoby and send your math, send your info, because this is what I like as it relates to giving the people what they want. Now, let me answer your question directly. Bullet between the eyes. Your sister shouldn't have messed with your friend. It wasn't your fault. It was not your fault. Your sister shouldn't have messed with your friend, because she should have saw that y'all was doing business together. That changes things. So now her relationship with him is messing with your money. And it shouldn't be predicated on whether they're getting along or not. So therefore, you shouldn't be his buddy friend, because he's not seeing eye to eye with your sister and he hurt her feelings, until she get another man. So when she get another man, he could be your boy.
Okay. I like that too. And I also have something to say.
But for now, you get that bread. You release them songs. That's what you do. You get that money and get rich and take care of your family and give your sister some of that money. That's what you do.
So one thing about this discussion that I wanted to bring to light, which is not, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And one thing I think is important is, at some point, did your homie have a conversation with you about dating your sister? Like, get blessing. You know what I mean? Because I think at some point you have to address it directly. I think that's an important step in the process. And when it's like, well, when the relationship ended, my sister was left feeling a certain way. It's kind of like we talked about in the last call. Like, it's unlikely it's going to end in a marriage. It's also unlikely it's going to end in some sort of mutual separation where everyone's happy. Usually romantic relationships, if they get to a certain level of emotional investment, end with someone being hurt. That's just kind of how it goes. Friendships aren't like that. Working relationships aren't like that, but romantic relationships are like that because it's just more involved. But I think Jalen said it right. You got to wait for her to heal. And when she's healed, because you don't want her to be mad at a dude and then follow you on social and see that you and such got a collaboration out. And then you're cross-promoting each other and she's left feeling a certain way that you don't support her. Because number one, she's your sister, so she's got to take priority over that. That's not even your homie. So once she's moved on emotionally, once those scars have healed, that's when you release the song.
Help her find a man. That's what you do. You love her. That's your sister. Put your arm around her. Where you want to go, sis? What you want to do? Help her fill out a dating profile. Help her find a man. That's family. Take care of family first.
We got time for one more voicemail. Again, right now, call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this.
Hey, what up, Jalen? What up, Jacoby? This is Alex from OKC. Had a question. Cultural or regional? Adding sugar to your spaghetti sauce. All right. Keep giving the people what they want.
Whoa. See, I've never seen this before. And I know that people look like you have a penchant for adding the sugar to things. So I'm just going to assume that this is cultural. Because I have never seen anybody looks like me add sugar to spaghetti sauce.
Let me just tell you this. I gave you an abbreviated version. I just got a picture that means everything to me that I've had for like since mid-2000s. It's when my grandfather died and we went to Bainbridge, Georgia. I remember I was playing against the Nets. I was on the Nuggets, so I had to fly. And as I look at the picture, everybody's wearing black except me because I was on the road. And I used to always appreciate being young, growing up, city slicker, Midwest, Detroit, what up, doe, Earl Flynn. And the further we drove down south toward Bainbridge, Georgia, how it went from being Midwest to the South, to things were Southern. people a lot of times don't know the difference. And I'll just play it out as it relates to spaghetti. Midwest, normal spaghetti. Probably put some Parmesan cheese on it, whatever. Further you start going down south, start getting more cheese, start getting more sugar. And before you know it, that's exactly what it is. So this is not only cultural, but it's regional as well. In particular, in southern districts of the country.
Well, some tells me they're not putting sugar in spaghetti in Southern California. You know what I mean? They're making spaghetti noodles out of kale, putting some grind up mushroom powder
deep
on
south.
Top.
No, nope, yeah. Different direction.
Yeah,
Midwest direction. Down south.
Exactly. I want to thank you guys so much for your calls. As always, call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us voicemails. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
Dopest pod in the game is step two. We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. You got to give the people.